About time, bitch.
My name is Miss Tiffany Morgan.
Rowing away.
It's Troy.
What's going on here?
Just a whole lot of celebrity.
Pause for applause. Well, hello there, sweet peas. Welcome to What's the Maple Tea with your hostess, me, Miss Tiffany Morgan, and
Rowena Way.
And we're joined today in Sweet Pea Studios. By the way, I put baby in the corner over here. But we're joined in Sweet Pea Studios with the fabulous Carson Arthur. Welcome, welcome. Oh, yeah, I muted you for some reason.
What?
There we go.
What?
I thought we were talking fish and hunting in green and bush. No? Did I get it wrong?
No. You got it. Yeah, you know, drag queens, green. It's all about, I don't know.
Being hated by Michelle Visage.
Being hated by Michelle Visage. We are not material girls. We are not material girls. So you went with the hunting and fishing sort of theme, did you?
Because I was going to bring a little butch edge to the show tonight.
Butch edge? But that's Tiffany's role.
Oh, the shade.
And the shade is my role.
Oh, my gosh. I'm like, I'm going to change camera views here for a second so we can have the full view here. We've got some koi fish in the back of your studio.
Wait,
there.
Koi fish?
Yeah, because
I painted that. Are you impressed a little bit?
I am impressed, but I mean, it's really tiny, so I can't tell if it's good or not.
It's not the size of the fish. It's how hard you beat it.
It's Wow. Carson's a little saucy. He did ask me earlier whether or not our podcast was explicit or not. I said, fuck yeah.
Speaking of our podcast, this is What's the Maple Tea, the live broadcast podcast where we talk about primarily Drag Race and Kingston Drag, and right now, RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 6. And also, I mean, apparently, horticulture.
Well, you know, any excuse to bring out this shabby, chic little headpiece that I have here. Some people may remember it from, you know, my coming out ceremonies or something. I don't know what.
Or the dollar store.
Some dead hosta leaves in somebody's garden. What?
Yeah, my gosh, these were not stolen from my neighbor's hosta collection. I swear to goodness. Goodness sakes. And we're also joined today with a special guest, Carson Arthur. yeah. So you're HGTV, City TV. And also, I can never remember.
LGBT.
LGBT.
All of the above.
All the above.
I'm so excited to be here. And I'm a huge fan of both of you and, of course, of RuPaul.
Yes. Well, I mean, you can't be a fan of RuPaul without being a fan of us. I mean, we originated it.
Exactly.
We originated RuPaul? Okay. I do know I've been around a long time, but I don't think that long.
I don't think you've been around that long. I haven't even been born as long as RuPaul has been doing drag, so.
Well, I've told you that story, though, that, you know, I was asked in season 2 or season 3 by their producers to submit a video. And the moral of the story is, if some stranger sends you an email asking for a video, you do it. You could be big and famous.
Or you could get catfished like Sherry Pie did.
Exactly.
Well, I'm guessing, Tiffany, that you did not submit the video then.
No. And I don't regret it at all to this day. I don't.
She would have had to up her drag.
Oh! Did you see the drag back then in season two, though? My gosh. Carson, I'm hearing that you're, like, you said you're a big RuPaul fan there. Like, you know everything. And you were throwing things at me earlier that I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm ready to spill the maple tea. Are you kidding me? But before we go there, can I compliment you on how amazing your show was in the armpit of Prince Edward County in Consequent, Ontario? It was so phenomenal.
Thank you very much. Thank
you. All of us loved it.
Wonderful. And yes, we were very happy to be in the, what did you say, the armpit of Prince Edward County.
The armpit, yeah.
I totally thought it was the sole of the heel, but I mean, who is complaining?
And Rowena, Rowena, I can honestly say I have never seen a drag queen go down so hard on her knees to break the stage. That was like epic.
I mean, if you're not going 110% and breaking the stage that you're supposed to be walking on, are you really doing drag?
That was the first number as well. Let me just clarify. That was the first number. And then the crew, like the owners and stuff, they were like, can you give us a minute while we brace the stage?
The cinder block just out of hand laying around. It was amazing.
Exactly. Is there a spare 2x4 somewhere on cinder block? All right, let's just brace up this stage.
I mean, I have to give it to the grist mill for being able to put together a stage out of tabletops and then support it with cinder blocks. And then when some heavy beast of a queen tries to tear it down, they just built it right back up. So,
kind of like the gay community in Prince Edward County, just in a nutshell, right there. Amazing.
Oh, listeners, if you don't know Prince Edward County, it is the best county right beside Frontenac, Lennox, and Edmonton, and of Ontario. And it's a beautiful area full of vineyards and wineries and the grist mill. But lots of fans, though. Like you enjoyed it. And half of Consecon came out to watch as well, but like, you know, on the street.
It looked like they didn't have to pay 120 people.
Great. Sorry, Carson?
So they didn't have to pay for it.
Ah! Well, as long as they weren't there with pitchforks and, like, tiki torches, I'm okay. I'm okay.
That was after the show.
Well, I mean, if you'd be dressed up like Shrek like you are tonight, then maybe they would have.
Oh. It's just getting thrown back at you there.
Okay. Well, there we go. So that's the end of the shade for a while, I guess.
No, I have one more piece of shade for you.
Oh!
In the honor of, you know, Paris is burning, Miss Tiffany Morgan, I must tell you that in the future, never, ever follow the drag king after he does the Gay Prince song from Disney. You were doomed, girl, and you went down like...
Did I do that really slow one?
Yeah, you did the ballad after the comedy song, which is just a real bummer.
Yeah.
Well, you know, someone has to keep it real. Moving forward.
It's just a piece of advice for the next time you're building your own set list.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I am the DJ, I can always change my song at any time if I wanted to.
And that's how we ended up with Edith Piaf.
Well, I was in the mood. I was like, oh, this is a patio. It's summertime. The sun's shining warm. We're at a lovely wedding venue right beside a river. I'm like, I'm just going to sing La Vie en Rose, you know, the English version, of course.
You're in your field.
You know, it came out during my birth. And the original single came out when I was born. But... Oh my god.
So
we're here to talk about some maple tea, aren't we?
We're here to talk about the maple tea, and right now we're talking about All Star 6. So Carson, have you been watching RuPaul's Drag Race All Star 6?
Not only have I been watching it, I've also been following Untucked and all of the feeds on Twitter and Instagram, and I am knee deep in RuPaul All Star 6.
I mean, you are in the thick of it. You've probably been watching more than both Tiffany and I have, because there's only so much drag one can consume when you're consuming all of it.
What? Not possible. I'm even watching the casting feeds for UK right now and for Canada. So come on. Never too much.
Never too much. I am watching the casting feeds for Canada. I'm very excited to see some of these queens, but we will talk about that another day. So right now, All Star 6, we just had episode 4. Who are you rooting for?
Really tough one. I'm really thinking Raja's got something special going, or not. Yeah, she's got something special going. She's sparkling at the moment. She's shining. I really love Sonique and what she's doing for the trans community. Wow, that rack. Good Lord, Gora. there's a few, though, that I've been a little disappointed with. I'm not going to lie.
Really? For example?
Your neighbor, Pandora, from Rochester, right across the water. Mm-hmm. She looks like she's painting for Jurassic Park. I'm not kidding, but Lord.
She is one of the oldest drag queens out there right now. Or at least one of the RuPaul's Drag Race girls.
Yeah. Jurassic Park.
I mean, she does have the teeth for Jurassic Park.
Oh, don't even start on the teeth. Miss Trinity, girl.
Oh.
Yeah. And there's a shot, and I don't know if you saw it in episode 4, but she didn't have the teeth in, and she turned and she was talking, and you could actually see that, it might be better with the teeth. Either way, she's amazing. I loved her, but wow. That's all I can see when she's on camera.
Oh my God. And here I didn't even know that. And meanwhile, I just finished watching a video of Terry Stevens with doing some tricks with her teeth.
Oh, Terry. Yes. I was talking about the old queens in the business. There we go. Trinity K. Bonet is fabulous. She's a fabulous entertainer, and she's definitely ramped it up this season compared to season 6. So I'm very excited to see her.
Yeah. Okay. Raja, Raja sounds good. Yeah. Trinity.
I don't want to let the cat out of the bag because I know you're going to talk about it in the episode tonight, but damn, can Trinity dance? Holy cow.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm sure we're going to talk about it, but she got robbed. Just saying.
Oh.
I mean, they had to take a break from robbing Jan to rob someone else.
Okay. In the industry, though, Jan is jazz hands all the time, every time the camera's on. Ah! Like, I wish she'd just be just Jan, because I think I'd like her more. But she puts it on so hard every single time. Mm-hmm. If you watch her, she's always doing the little glint out of the corner of her eye to see where the camera is, and she's always performing. It kills me.
Yeah. She's one of those queens who's very aware of what her image is. And she 100%. Wants it to be perfect at all times. And you can see that even more in this season because she's not letting the producers get to her. She's keeping her cool. She's not breaking down. And I wonder how far they'll push her before she actually does break.
But she's self-editing as well. It's not good.
Yeah. No.
So you think they're going to try to push her to break?
They have that,
or they'll just send her home.
Yeah. I agree, 100%.
Yeah, the truth of reality TV is they want it to be both reality and produced, and Jan isn't letting the reality happen. She's
You have to let the real emotions out. So when I'm on HGTV, it's never scripted, but it's always let the feels happen. Like if you're tearing up because you've done something good, just let it happen. If you're angry about something, let it happen. Jan is like, all the time. She never goes off of that spot. And you're right. She's editing herself. Even in her interviews, she's like, and all the time. Whereas some of the other queens are being honest and they're saying, no, that's the shit. And no, that's not going to work.
Yeah. Wow. There's a reason they're keeping Akiria around. She's very real. She's showing her emotions. And like her drag is fantastic, even though she's not doing well. They're keeping her there because she's giving the producers something to work with.
But she looks scary.
She looks scary?
No, not scary. No, she looks scared. She looks nervous right now. Oh. Like, she knows she's at the bottom of the pile, and she's scared about it. And it's kind of dimming her light a little bit, and she needs to get past that and fast.
Mm-hmm. But, hey, the audiences want to see all the feelings, Carson, all the feelings. They want to see the fear. They want to see the pleasure. They want to see the, I don't know. They want to see it all. They want to see all the shots.
I have been rewatching season two, and I just realized that they've stopped filming the queens in their hotel rooms, which is something they used to do in the earlier seasons. And I feel like it's probably because they didn't want to invade their privacy anymore. But I kind of miss that. I kind of miss seeing, like, the queens getting ready in the morning. I don't know if that's just me.
Did they used to have... I don't remember seeing that.
You've never seen the early seasons.
Well, the early seasons were submit a video, and then that video was used in, like, 10 episodes. Another reason why I didn't submit a video. But I was like, I want to get some money for that, damn it. Oh, my word. But what... We haven't really talked about who we think are strong contenders. Well, you kind of have. Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I think... So, going in, I really thought that Ginger and Eureka would be, like, front runners constantly. And they really haven't been. And I was really shocked to see that, like, Trinity is a front runner and that Raja is a front runner. But I have to hand it to them. I mean, they're doing really well. But I do think that Raja is probably going to crash and burn. And I think that Trinity might also crash and burn. And we will get to see some of these other people who are probably more like silent killers.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that a lot of, like, for instance, Pandora Box's stuff, I'm kind of feeling it must be on the cutting room floor. Or she's just not, you know, getting any screen time at all. Like, you know,
she might just not be exciting, though.
She's one note, like literally one note all the time. All of her comedy is exactly the same. And she's not going anywhere that she hasn't already been. Like even Eureka, and I know everybody loved Eureka's headboard slamming. And I know you guys love the headboard slamming. I mean, I've broken a few headboards in my time, never with my head, but you know, grab on with your hands. But Eureka as well, she hasn't done anything to make me go, ooh, like amazing. Like when she did her Honey Boo Boo in the past episodes, past seasons, or when she did the baby. Like that was fun, but she hasn't gone anywhere past that.
No, not yet. But I think that she will. I think that she'll start to push a little bit more, especially with her fashion, because we really haven't seen that yet.
I thought you were going to cut her a new one when she showed up with the fringed pants after Ginger Minj did the silver pantsuit.
I considered it, but I actually kind of liked it. Because it was a chap, like, and you could see at the back that it wasn't a, I don't know what Ginger was thinking, because she literally wore a frilled bodysuit covered in a bodysuit.
Yeah.
And it, but just to quote Tatiana, choices.
And have you noticed Michelle Visage has not gotten into it with any of the All-Stars on their bodysuit usage? I thought for sure she'd be all over that.
I think... it's been a common trend in All-Stars that they're easier on them in their critiques because they want to show them as being heightened, as being better than the regular seasons. And you'll probably notice that RuPaul has barely said a word on the judging table during critiques.
That's true.
No, you're right. You're right. She hasn't said a whole lot. She hasn't said a whole lot. Other than bring back my girls. So shall we break down the episode? Shall we talk about the mini challenge.
The mini challenge.
And there was none.
There wasn't one. I was going to say, I don't think there was one. Was there? Am I like, I know I'm drinking when I'm watching the episodes, but I don't think I was drunk.
Are you drinking Queen of Weed?
Usually, yes.
Oh, okay. There we go. Now she's just drinking the blood of some young man. There we go. All right. I'll just get some Aperol Spritz in me. All right. But the maxi challenge. Hall of Fame halftime. I'm sure.
I just want to say that this is my absolute favorite part of the heterosexual sporting season, the football halftime show, because it is the gayest event to ever occur in a sport.
Not the 4 hours before or the 4 hours after. No. It's just that little half hour, maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah. I like to disagree. I don't know if you saw them, but there were some tight ends around those performers in that show. I was impressed.
This is very true. And Scarlett Envy definitely commented on the speedos in Untucked when she's like, I almost lost track of my words and my choreography because the two guys just popped out in like tight red speedos.
It's a perfect segue to watch them all over again.
Mm-hmm. Well, they seemed to like to be fresh dancers, each one of them. I was like, oh, those weren't the same dancers. Oh, those weren't the same dancers.
Every young man is fresh to you.
Well, you know, every young man with a face mask and a brand new pair of underwear seems to be fresh to me. But
wait, does that mean you've broken your 6-month dry spell?
6 months? Oh, you're being so kind.
That was a number I made up.
Oh, my God.
It's like more like 6 years. So for this week's challenge, the queens had to perform as halftime divas. So halftime show performers from the past. And it looked like they had to choose in advance who they were going to be. Or perhaps they had them chosen for them. Because I don't know why anybody would choose Fergie.
Thinking,
and I know that neither of you probably have a repertoire of halftime show performers, but who the hell else was Ginger Minge going to be? Like The Weeknd? Come on. There was Ginger Minge was going to do. And yeah, Fergie might have been the only person that she could have pulled off.
I think Fergie should have been all of NSYNC.
That would be awesome. That was really good. Yeah,
that's a good one. That's a good one. And I don't know.
How short is Ginger Minge? Because that Fergie outfit made her look like about 4'2".
She looked like a linebacker. She really did.
Like a 2-foot-tall linebacker. Yeah.
A linebacker, once they're in that like downward position where you can see their butt, right?
You mean
I did not play football.
Hitting the ball?
She knows.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Hutting. Thank you. I played every sport but the contact sports. So no football, no rugby. But you can ask me about any of the other ones. Let's talk about the NBA. Everyone shuts off Maple Tea.
I have no idea what's going on here. I'm like, mind games? I don't know. Like, you know, Dungeons and Dragons? I've never played it before. But I've heard of it. I've heard of it. Super Mario.
I know the dungeons part.
His expression has not changed this entire time. He's like, yeah, we know she's a slut.
I bring it to you every episode.
Well, there we go. Yeah. Speaking of which, you need to show some torso. Will we get some more viewers here now?
No, I'm wearing clothes today. I'm wearing a spandex bodysuit.
Well, there's a zipper here, and it goes down. Yeah. I'm teasing. Oh, Lord. All right, so... So it started off with, so we go through them.
Let's go through all of these performers.
So Ginger Minge as Fergie. Ugh.
The best part of her performance was watching her like pop and lock. I just found that really fun because that's not something I ever thought I'd see Ginger do.
Yeah.
But then again, she also did the robot hoedown back in season 7, and that was also impressive.
If you consider Oompa Loompa dancing impressive, then yes, it was.
And I do, Carson. That's why every time Tiffany Morgan dances on stage, you'll see me in the background going, yes!
I am not feeling the love at this moment. I am not feeling the love.
It's okay. Just drink your drink. So next up,
we had Eureka doing Madge. What were your thoughts?
How many dance steps did she actually do? Maybe 6, maybe 7. And Michelle commented that the best part of her outfit was her giant headpiece and her hair. I wasn't blown away by this. I didn't get Madge at all.
No, I did not feel the Madge. I did not feel the magic. It was...
I was getting the Madge, you know, post falling off that horse, horse, and breaking her back for, like, you know, 3 years. That's the feeling I got from that.
And they complimented on her on interacting with the dancers. So barely anything on her actual performance itself.
No.
It just seemed like a reach.
And when you compare And don't get me wrong, I love Eureka. I think she's incredibly talented. But when you compare the level that she put in compared to some of the other performances, I was like, how? This is not notable.
Mm-hmm. Well, the look, yes, maybe not necessarily the performance. I would agree with you too, yes.
And Eureka can dance. Like, she can dance. So yeah. I don't think there was really an excuse. And we can't blame Jamal Sim for it because she just kind of did her, you know, I felt like she was going to break into the Macarena at one point.
High kicks. When does Madge do high kicks?
Yeah.
It just didn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah. So. And then we had Raja O'Hara as Diana Ross. Oh, my.
She had great hair choreography. She really got the wind going in the big bouffant. And lots of arms, and she presented, and it was very Diana Ross. But again, when it comes down to skill level compared to some of the other performances, it was kind of a meh. I enjoyed it. I'd go to one of her shows, but that's about it.
Yeah. And to be honest, like, when it comes to performance, Ginger was better than both Raja and Eureka in terms of what she actually did and the effort she put in. Maybe Fergie's not a great choice and not a great character, but Ginger did better.
Yeah, I agree.
So I just want to step back for a moment because Jamal came up with dance moves for all of them, right?
Yes.
Yeah, for their chosen stars of halftime and stuff like that. And okay, so it's interesting. Well, we should talk about how they made the judgments later on. Because if he didn't have much dance moves other than just, you know, put your feet here and look like Diana Ross or something, are we really judging them properly? Like, you know.
We're judging them on their characterization of these divas. Mm-hmm. And Raja did a good Diana Ross. I mean, not as good as Bibi Zahara-Benet did, but like a good Diana Ross.
But this is also
Diana Ross.
This is also the halftime show. So, like, it's supposed to be big and, you know, big and eye-grabbing. And you just kind of want to watch and eat the popcorn going, oh, my God, this is incredible. It was great. It wasn't incredible.
Why didn't she do Janet Jackson?
Oh, she would have been amazing. Yep.
Yeah, Carson.
I just wanted to see the titty pop out. What?
Yes. I'm like, of all the freaking halftime shows, no one chose Miss Janet, if you're nasty, Janet Jackson.
Or like, Tina, no one chose Tina Turner. So I did find out, though, that Serena Chacha chose J-Lo.
So they
chose before they came onto the... Because in my mind, they had to prepare for these outfits. So they must have... there must have been some sort of thing, you know, 4 weeks in advance.
But whether they chose them or they were told their people is still a question I don't have an answer to and probably will never until they release the unedited tapes and all of the background information.
Or the score or the game within the game.
The game within a game. Oh,
I can't wait. I'm hoping it's this episode, but I'm betting it's next episode.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. So does that mean they take more out of the program to do the game within a game? Like, is it like 10 minutes of game within a game? We'll see. I'm like, God, there's so much going on. So that was Diana Ross. And then we had Shakira by Yara. Yara Sophia. Shakira. Oh, she sometimes does this.
Yeah, she was a little feisty with Jamal. I feel bad.
It's a little self-directing.
Yeah, and I didn't notice Yara's face until the judges pointed it out. But when they pointed out that she gave no face, then I was kind of like, oh, damn. Yeah, she didn't do anything. She was blank. Yeah. As far as skills, though, she was rolling. She had the whole thing. I believed it.
If you didn't tell me that was Shakira, I would have known that was Shakira.
From here down.
I would have thought it was Shakira. Yeah, from the chin down.
Yeah.
Chin down.
Which is what Yara worse. Yeah, she admitted it. So, I mean, yeah. But you looked at Ginger Minj and I wouldn't have gotten Fergie, but I knew Yara was Shakira.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was worse, though, was she was just staring at her feet the entire time, which not really performing with her face. But her body is stunning.
I agree.
And she let it known to the audience that she does this, twice a week?
At Piranha in Vegas on Tuesdays and Sundays.
Anyway, we are continuing on. We're not jumping anywhere. So that was Shakira. And then we had Katy Perry by Scarlet Envy.
I loved Katy Perry. I thought it should have been in the top instead of Eureka. I thought that she owned it, and she was Katy Perry.
From where Carson? Envy has come to that performance, absolutely. I mean, stand up, ovation all the way. But again, I thought there was better performances out there, but knowing that Eureka was in the top three and Scarlet Envy wasn't, I think was definitely a miss.
Mm-hmm. And plus, she gave us some of the, or at least for me, funniest moments of the episode when she's just walking around in that shark outfit.
Blood in the water. Loved it.
That was a good line. That was a good line.
Scarlet Envy, though, is definitely the new Jan. She is safe, 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 when she should not have been safe many of these times.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I don't know what's going to happen with Scarlet Envy, if she's going to have a breakout moment or if she's going to jump the shark. Haha, no pun intended. But I hope the best for her, because I do love her as a personality. And I think she has come so far in her short time.
Yep. And I will say one thing for her. She is my partner's favorite queen. So he would like to be her chum.
Wait. Ba-dum-bum, shark references. Sharks.
It's Shark Week in Maple Tea.
Baby shark.
No, no. We've told you about singing, right? Talk to you about singing.
Yes, sing more, you told me, right? Right.
I believe next up was...
Carson likes my singing. Next up...
And it's in pitch, you what?
Bitch or pitch? What? Oh, it was Steven Tyler. Steven Tyler by Sonique. Kylie Sonique Love.
So Aerosmith is my favorite band, which I always get weird looks when I say that, but Aerosmith is my favorite band, like, period. And I've seen Aerosmith perform 4 times. I've seen Steven Tyler perform, and, like, honestly, Kylie was Steven Tyler. Mm-hmm. She had the mannerisms, she had the moves, she had the facial expressions, and I was very disappointed she didn't, like, throw the mic stand away and then pull it back, but then she did at the very end, and I was just like, okay, I'm sold. Like, it wasn't an exciting performance, but it was perfect.
I think the only downfall for Sonique in this one was it wasn't glamorous. So she kind of got lost behind all the glamour and the people with the choreography. I can't speak. The dance performances where, you know, they actually worked in sync with the other people. She was on her own giving a performance. I think she got credit for that, but I don't think it put her in the top because of that.
Yeah, it wasn't big enough to warrant that top spot.
No.
All right. So, sorry, I just noticed that we're getting some comments here. So, she also had the most screen time with 53 seconds.
Who did?
Scarlett? No. Didn't Scarlett win so meek?
Scarlett apparently had the most screen time with 53 seconds.
All right. Well, I'll wait for people to confirm that. But yeah, I love when you there's other people who will do the mathematics for us to get the abacus out and be like, okay, well, that was 53 seconds.
The hard work.
The hard work. Exactly. The hard work. I did learn through, you know, various reality TV programs and stuff like that, especially the singing types. I won't say why, but anyway, it's always about the second or third performance in, because that's when most of the audience members are finally tuning. They're like, oh, it's 8:40. I better log. The show started at 8:30. I better tune in. Got some timings there.
Well, I mean, in Drag Race, the performances don't usually start till halfway through the episode. So how would you rate that?
I would rate that A+, I guess. Okay. Anyway, continuing on. Continuing on.
After Steven Tyler, we had Lady Gaga.
Lady... By Jan.
By Jan.
Jantastic. Jantasy.
Just Jan.
Just Jan.
Jan.
Yeah, I'm kind of liking the Jan kind of vibe. Spearsy. Jan Spearsy. Yeah, there's quite a little bit of branding with that, but yeah.
Are you a Jan stan, Carson?
I respect what Jan did in this performance. She embodied Gaga. She took it to Crazy Town, which is exactly what she was supposed to do. She actually played the piano, which was very cool. Mm-hmm. So she showed kind of an extra layer of her talent. It wasn't my favorite, but I completely, completely respect what she did.
Yeah. I think, like, my only criticism from it might have been that some of her dance moves weren't as clean as they could have been. But, I mean, she was given some of the most difficult dance moves. She was given one of the most difficult roles, and she still killed it. So I'm glad. I don't believe she should have won, and that's as a Jan stan. But I'm glad they gave it to her finally.
I know part when we get to the outfits in the runway, but I definitely put Jan at, you know, right at the top with one of the other performances. And I think, you know, her outfit is what made it in the end for her.
Oh, that outfit made me drool.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, yeah. Let's continue with the halftime. Continue with the halftime. So that was Gaga. And then we had Prince.
Akiria.
Steve Davenport.
Poor Akiria. I mean, I watched it and I wanted to love it so much that all I kept having flashbacks to was Marla Gibb in 222. And I was waiting for Jack Kay to come in. Like, it just, no. Prince is sexy and that wasn't sexy. And he's fluid and he just sells sex out of every pore. And Akiria... even when she turned around and gave a little booty tooch, I was like, that's Prince didn't do the booty shake. There was no twerking with Prince, so I didn't love that performance, but I love Akiria.
Okay, as someone who I know Prince's music, but I didn't grow up like watching Prince, I don't really know what Prince's performance style was like. It's nice to have a bit of perspective because I thought that Akiria did really well, but I didn't know.
Prince was sexy and you wanted to either be him or sleep with him. It was like that whole vibe that he gave off. And Akiria, no, there was no sexy there. She wasn't bringing sexy back.
I didn't want to be Akiria or sleep with Akiria in that moment.
There you go.
Yeah.
Proof in the pudding.
Maybe she was giving us a little... No, later Prince wouldn't have shown off his booty like that, you know, when he found religion again and stuff like that. No, he...
Prince did the assless chaps, but he didn't, like, turn around and jiggle them. He just wore them, and it was a bit of a fuck you, I'm wearing these pants because I want to wear these pants. And if he turned around and you saw an ass, you went, oh my gosh. But it wasn't like, here, look at this. And that's what she was doing, and that's why I kind of didn't love that part of the performance.
There we go.
But I have to tip my hat off to her, though. Like, you know, a drag queen trying to do a male character like Prince or even Michael Jackson. You know, there's only a few people who can do Michael Jackson well.
I would not have wanted, as any of these people, especially not Akiria, to do someone who had to dance. And so I'm actually surprised she chose Prince in the first place.
Yeah, but again, got some... halftime show. Who the hell else would she have chosen?
Tina Turner.
Oh my god, dance move.
Janet Jackson. Like, come on, Janet Jackson is like, woohoo, woohoo.
She should have gone way back and done one of the marching bands.
Or like, well, Karen Canning.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Carol Channing. Who's
Cheryl
next?
Cheryl Canning.
What? Who's Cheryl Canning?
Cheryl Canning is what Monique Hart thinks Carol Channing is.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, next up is Carol Channing by Pandora Box.
I didn't feel it.
No. It was good.
It felt like Carol Channing to me. Yeah. It really felt like Carol Channing. It sounded like Carol Channing to me. Kind of looked like Carol Channing to me. But it wasn't, because fans today expect something thrilling and stuff like that, and I wasn't getting that from
they
this.
Expect what came after Cheryl Canning.
I mean, the late great Carol Channing was absolutely nuts, and she sold crazy, and she did it in such a phenomenal way. And Pandora did it in her when she did the Snatch Game. She sold crazy, and I loved it. But in the performance, I could see Carol Channing, but it didn't. Yeah, it wasn't authentic to actually that person or that celebrity.
It was pretty reserved.
Yeah, I agree.
But it was cute though. Everyone in the room were so paranoid because they know that RuPaul likes Carol Channing, and just finds it hilarious and stuff like that. So they were all shaking their boots, thinking that she got it in the bag.
Well, she did have a funny verse compared to all the other ones.
Yeah,
and we all know that RuPaul just loves to laugh.
She loves the funny. Who doesn't love the funny?
Last but certainly, certainly not least, Beyoncé.
By Trinity K. Bonet. Oh, there we go. Applauses, applause, I mean, applause.
Come on. That performance, like that, she was Beyoncé. And knowing that so many queens had failed in that role before that, and not only did she sell it, she had to do the dance moves, and she hit every bit of that lip sync. I mean, I felt like I was watching a Rowena Way show. Like, it was so on.
Thank you very much. I felt like
A Rowena Way show. What about like a Tiffany show?
No, there was no cabaret there.
There was no Edith Piaf.
Oh my god. Okay, anyway.
I truly did feel like I was watching Beyoncé perform. It was
really?
It was perfect. Like, yeah. She had all of the mannerisms. She had the, like, I own this stage attitude. And I could have watched her do an entire show.
Totally.
In fact, I would.
Even her wig cooperated. Like, she just flipped it. She had the hair blown, the fan. It was flawless. And she deserves all the praise for that. Because, damn, like, I was blown away.
It was one of those moments. The judges said Beyoncé has a presence where she walks out on stage and people just start screaming. And it's so true, because Trinity, at the end of that, she was just standing there and I just wanted to scream at her. It was so good.
Are we sure we watch the same program? Are we sure? I just saw some sort of, like, you know, half-ass clone sort of thing just trying to, just wiggling on the stage there. No. That hair, yes, it was moving nicely and stuff like that, but it did not give me Beyoncé. That look did not give me Beyoncé. Nope.
That's funny, because that's exactly what Beyoncé wore on the halftime show.
Wait, she actually bought Beyoncé's outfit?
No, I mean, like, she made a replica. It's exactly what Beyoncé wore.
Oh, okay. Well, if that's what she wore.
And the ombre wig was exactly the hairstyle for that show as well.
Yep.
Okay, well, I don't watch the halftime shows. All right, continuing on.
She's like, I don't watch the sports.
The last halftime show I watched was maybe 5 seconds of Madonna, and that was it. I was like, no more. I'm done with halftime shows.
I want to say that Trinity chose right. She chose Beyoncé, which was good, because she is actually a Whitney Houston impersonator when she does her performances.
Oh.
And so I'm surprised that she didn't choose Whitney. But
did Whitney do a halftime show?
She was a part of one. She wasn't the headliner. So maybe that wasn't allowed.
But damn, like, killed it. Honestly, and I've watched it twice online since. Like, people are actually streaming that performance. So as much as I love Jan, that stole the show for me, 100%.
Yeah. Best performance of all of the halftime show performances.
All right.
Okay, so the runway this week was the frill of it all, which I thought I was going to hate for the most part, because I don't like frills. I'm not a frilly person. I'm very much like a form-fitting body kind of person. And
you like the tassels though, right?
I do like tassels. Tassels are nice. But I'm not a big frill person. So I actually thought I was going to vomit at one point. But didn't. I contained it.
In your mouth or in general?
Both. So first up was...
Should we just go through the list as it was there? Okay, so Ginger Minj.
So Ginger Minj had the My Fair Lady-esque Lavender Delight... Little Bo Peep. That's who she was.
Yeah. I will say that that red ginger wig with her makeup and the lavender framed her face so incredibly well. That dress, though, wow, she looked like the doily cover that my grandma has over top of the toilet paper on the back of the toilet seat. Like, where's the fashion here?
I mean, more is better, right, in drag? More is always better.
Well, and she was taking notes, though. Also, remember that. Like, she could be one of the later contestants because she took notes and she was asking her comrades, did I have enough makeup on from her last critique? Yep. So, yeah.
And they gave her honest answers, which was, I mean, also good.
Jan gave her the tip about the highlighting and the contouring on her forehead, mm-hmm. and then Michelle Visage picked that up and specifically said she'd never looked so good. So I thought that was amazing. Hopefully, you know, Ginger gave a little nod to Jan that we didn't get to see, but, you know, she got some help and it paid off.
Mm-hmm. And they've already said to Jan once this season that she's one of those queens that lifts the other ones up. And I think we're seeing that a little bit more, mm-hmm. which is good.
And then we have Akiria.
No, Eureka.
Eureka. Oh, God.
Frilly chaps that were almost exactly the same as Ginger Minj's silver redemption runway.
Yeah. Did Eureka get lips done?
I don't. So, yes, she got her lips done, but something was up with her makeup in this episode because it looked bad.
Something about it, like the outfit was fun. I love the reveal at the beginning. I love the big hat and the way she strutted it. Like, I could totally see that girl in the mall, but. I don't know, something was off with her makeup, but the judges loved it and they loved the way she looked. And I wasn't with them on that one.
No, I think Eureka this week is just the one person I really disagree with.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
So Tiffany must have loved it.
Yeah, Tiffany must have loved it.
I loved it. I loved it. Of course I loved it. For fuck's sakes, why do you even ask me? Raj O'Hara!
Trinity did it better in her construction.
Yeah. It kind of looked like a bad prom dress. Oh, and no haters on that one. But with the sleeves and it was just okay. It was just okay. Yeah.
Now, I will say props to Raja, though, because she made almost every single one of her outfits this season. And she made this one as well. And, I mean, that's pretty skillful.
Yeah, it just did nothing for her figure. And she's got incredible lines. Like, she can sell fashion. And that dress, I just didn't get fashion.
I don't get fashion from her ever, to be honest.
Really? When she's doing the critiques and the confessionals with those amazing sunglasses, I want those damn sunglasses. There's no lenses in them, but I want them.
Okay, so she only does fashion as a boy.
Okay, great. Wait, does that fashion. Make sense? No trade.
Only Trinity is trade, remember? No.
Oh.
No. Next up was Yara Sophia. Did you get frill from this?
I love Yara Sophia's crazy, but and her makeup was so heavy in that. It went like geisha creepy something going on. And I didn't get frills. Fringe, yes, but I didn't get frills.
Lots of fringe, no frills. I mean, the hair on her windmill, which was missing a prong, and then the frill, like the sequin frills dangling off her dress. All of that was fringe, not frill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say, Rowena, at the end of your three-hour set, you're making just like your Yara's.
This is true. Very, very janky. I mean, there's only so long that makeup will stay on a face when you're sweating in the heat outside.
When? I don't know. I look pretty fucking good at the end.
You barely wear makeup, though.
No.
That's the secret. That's the secret. Just be light with the makeup.
You said sweating.
Sweating.
You have to move to sweat.
I was moving the mouse around on the computer.
Finger exercises.
Oh, Zach said she somehow misunderstood windmill, I swear. What? Windmill, I swear. Okay. Windmill. Let's continue on, because I have no idea what that comment means. Okay.
Next up is...
Oh, Yara Sophia, and then who was after that? That was...
Scarlet Envy.
Scarlet Envy. Oh.
She was stoned for the gods. Even her lips looked incredible. This is nitpicky because I thought she did incredible, but the fringe on the top of her bustier, I kept looking at it 3 or 4 times thinking, is that chest hair? So no, I would have taken that out, but she looked amazing and she did it up. So that's why I thought she should have been higher than Eureka in the top three.
My only critique of Scarlett, even though I know she did it intentionally, was that it was monochromatic. Mm-hmm. And I think that if she had done a different hair color, they would have made the outfit look better.
What was the comment? House of La Beige? I love that.
House of La Beige, yes.
House of La Beige. Now, and so, yeah. Oh, sorry, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. But she's part of the season 11 girls, though, right?
She is,
yeah. Yeah. So we're always going to see, anyway. Continuing on.
Next up was Sonique with what was my least favorite outfit of the runway.
I didn't see an outfit. All I saw were incredible boobs. Incredible. Oh, my
God. Well, if you cut it at the chest and went up, she was gorgeous. If you cut it at the chest and went down, she was a jellyfish.
Don't touch my tentacles, girl.
But, wow, going from Steven Tyler... to that outfit, holy cow, like she has so much skill. So again, props to Kylie Sonique. She was serving it. But yeah, the dress, but who cares?
Her plastic surgeon. Props to her plastic surgeon.
True. But honestly, who cared? I wanted to watch more of her. She looked incredible.
I agreed with her safe, but yeah. I did not like that outfit in the slightest.
All right. And then
Jan. Oh my God. I had like drooling orgasm. That outfit is everything. I loved it. I was living my Maverick Moulin Rouge fantasies. Like, yeah.
It was a Jan can for sure. And the best. I honestly think that outfit is what made it for her and why she ended up coming out on top was because of the outfit, because it was so good. It stole the show.
Yeah. I know on another recap show, they said that the colors were too muted, but I thought the colors were perfect. The silvers and the maroons were just gorgeous.
And it was different than everybody else. She took it to a different spot. And she's like, you want to see frills? How about these frills? Like, she...
You know what? She always does.
Yeah.
Others agree, too. The outfit won it for Jan. Oh, sorry, Carson.
I'm with Zach. Zach, you and I, same page. I didn't understand your last comment, but this one I got.
Zach had a drink or two. Next up...
After Jan...
Prince, Curious C. Davenport... This was a pageant outfit. Like, this is what you'd see walking down a pageant runway. The changing from the headdress covering everything to revealing to the petals, revealing to the skirt.
Oh, yes. Okay, sorry.
It's gone really nicely with your headdress.
This is where Tiffany woke up in the show.
Let me just backtrack, because I do always, and I forgot to take any notes. I forgot all their outfits. I really don't give a shit about their outfits, because I'm like forgettable. Other than this outfit I remember. It's just, she blossomed on stage, and then she tore off the petals, and then she was, it was beautiful. It was beautiful pageant performance. It was dramatic, and Rowena's chatting on her phone, telling her pimp daddy that she'll be there in 10 minutes.
Telling my pimp daddy that Tiffany, I want Akira's outfit.
Tiffany, I think you just like the big stamen on the top of Akira's head on that one.
There was a stamen? Goodness sakes.
Oh, I had to pollinate it.
Yeah, okay. Can I ask one question, though? Because I am not a drag queen. Do drag queens usually do the makeup down into their décolletage or what the hell this area is called? Because I noticed that on Akira, she got nappy little hairs happening and it kind of didn't look good. It didn't look finished. So her face all the way down to her neck looked stunning and then she stopped. And with that dress, I think she needed to do the whole thing.
It depends on whether or not you're going to be painting on breasts.
Okay.
So usually you carry your makeup down to your neck, at least to blend it into your chest.
Yep.
But like if you have chest hair and you're not one of those queens, then you should be shaving and at least putting on some makeup to cover up to make it the same color, if not painting on boobs. And I like, honestly, on Drag Race, it's kind of 50-50 whether or not they actually do breasts.
Yeah. So quite a few of those queens, though, have the augmented breasts kind of plates and stuff like that. And then they just stop right at the neckline, you know, maybe even the chin line, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And I do remember queens in the past who would kind of cut off there and just try to blend in and stuff like that. And, hey, it's whatever you can get away with, really.
She definitely had a moment. And her moment on the stage, I think the other queens respected that a little bit more than, say, Yara Sofia, who didn't have a moment. She had a windmill. But again, I was kind of like, you know, you're All-Star Season 6. There's an expectation here. You need to step it up. And I thought Michelle would have ripped into her a little bit. But like you said, Michelle's been very nice so far this season. But yeah, even if she had, who's the Canadian drag queen that was on UK?
That was Crystal.
Crystal. So Crystal had chest hair and she sold it and it was her chest hair and it was okay. But with an Akira spot, she doesn't have a lot of chest hair. She just has a little bit. And I wasn't living the fantasy with her on that part.
Hmm. Yeah, it could have been a choice too. I do know some if you're going to be under camera for like 6 hours, a lot of that makeup will probably end up on the dress itself too. So you have to make those kind of decisions there.
We have a lovely little comment here from Justin.
What does Justin side? Side note, Miss Tiffany here looking like Mrs. Doubtfire. Slay, mama, slay. I look like Mrs. Doubtfire?
With lettuce on
you look like Robin Williams.
Let me show you my hairy chest. Well, thank you, Justin.
I don't know if that's a compliment, though. So
wait, what? No, it's a compliment, right, Justin? Right, it's a compliment.
And then, so second last, we had, I believe, it's second last, Pandora in. Oh, sorry. I want to make a correction. This was my least favorite outfit on the runway.
Pandora? Yeah, that was my Jurassic Park reference. I mean, I've seen little ladies wear very similar dresses, and her makeup was fine. It was flat. Her hair was sort of playful. She kind of had the French poodle thing going down, but no, there was... Can you even tell me what color that dress was? Because there's nothing memorable about that one.
The color was ugly. The style was hideous. And it reminded me of the murderous dolls in almost every single horror movie.
Nice. But what are you really doing?
Yeah. I kind of like Pandora Box, so I'm just going to not talk about that.
I like Pandora Box. She deserves Miss Congeniality this year for sure.
It's not even halfway through. She already deserves Miss Congeniality. Oh, Carson, you're killing me. All right. And then last and definitely least.
Trinity K. Bonet in the perfect picture of salmon.
But was she swimming upstream or down? That dress... I mean, she did pageant queen. All she needed was the wave. I mean, I think that dress is what kept her out of first place for back-to-back weeks. But you'll notice in that dress, though, she had a figure. Like, that thing was pasted on. She had curves. It just wasn't the best color, and the frills didn't help it. You're right. They kind of looked like fish fins.
Yeah. It was not all of it was the same, though, because the frills kind of changed shape partway down the dress. And I do think that part of it, like the shape, in order to give it the shape on the higher part of the bodice, it wasn't quite as nice as the frills were down in the skirt and the train. So I don't think it was terrible, but it wasn't as good as Jan's.
No. And I think that, honestly, I think that's what cost her. Mm-hmm. Oh, but I love the Tandy Newton Westworld comment. That is exactly where I was going with that. Jan's color palette was totally that. I wanted her to pull some robotic bionic boob or something just to really finish off that fantasy.
I mean, it is Jan. She is a robot.
and Zach's mentioned a typical Trinity K. Bonet pageant look. Had she stepped it up, she could have. Yeah, exactly. Like, it looked like she was just trying to play safe with this one. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, reusing something from some past pageant or something. But
so in the end, we had the top three were Jan, Trinity, and Eureka. Still questioning Eureka. And the bottom three were Akiria, Ginger, and Yara, with Ginger being safe. Do you think that they chose the right bottom two?
I really didn't like the Prince performance. I think Ginger was handcuffed with Fergie. So I put Yara in the bottom only because of her face in the Shakira performance. I'm gonna say they got it right for the bottom two this time.
My only other option, I might have put Pandora in the bottom just because I didn't like the outfit and I thought the performance was middling.
Yeah.
And I personally thought that Akiria did, like, put in a lot of effort in the performance, even though maybe it wasn't Prince, but I thought she did, like, a really good job of trying to bring that. But I agreed that Ginger should be close, but in the end, I agree.
You think that Carol Channing, she didn't, Pandora Box didn't put much effort into it? Just because you didn't see her getting ready and the credits and stuff? Like,
We're calling her out.
But it wasn't memorable. Like, you're not going to go, oh, my God, can I go on YouTube and download that Carol Channing performance again? Like, it was okay. And I think she deserved to be safe because it was okay. It was Carol Channing, but there was no rah, rah, rah there.
And that's how I feel about Eureka. I did not think Eureka should have been in the top. I thought that Scarlett should have been in the top with them.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but in the end, Jan is the winner of this challenge. And she goes on to lip sync against the secret lip sync assassin of the week. Are you trying to find your...
Yeah, there we go.
Your thingamajig?
Yeah.
Which was Jessica Wilde.
Jessica Wilde!
So, you have no idea who this is.
Not a clue!
Carson, how do you feel about Jessica being a lip sync assassin?
So, I don't remember Jessica being that impressive in her season. But let me tell you, much like Laganja last week, this week, I was watching her going, oh, my God, where do I get more Jessica Wilde? Like, what?
Yes.
And she took it to Jan. I loved it. Jan looked like she got stomped on that stage.
I don't know. Jan made some interesting choices. And, I mean, Jan likes to do comedy in her performances. She really likes to bring that camp factor. And she likes to do, like, the mixed clips with, like, songs with, like, sketches in the middle and stuff like that. But she tried to bring comedy to Womanizer.
Yeah.
And when you just have to kill it, like, it's Britney, you just have to kill it. And Jessica did that.
Yeah. She did it, and she did it with hair and frills and spins and a bustier and heels and no cliffhangers. Like, she killed it and deserved to win.
Yeah. She done killed it. Jessica, I was referring to Cheryl Canning earlier in this episode.
Yeah, exactly.
You can go back and listen to me make those references and Tiffany be confused. So in the end, Jan does not win the lip sync, and RuPaul declares her safe, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, I didn't even get that reference. Thank you for pointing that out. You're safe, Jan.
You're safe, Jan.
But Jan didn't really catch it either. Did you notice?
No, she kind of just like turned away and walked to the back of the stage. Yeah.
She's like, okay, I'll be safe. But I think she was more bitter that she didn't win the 20,000.
Oh, and you could see it on her face. She was like, she's like, I wanted that 20 grand.
For sure.
Are we going to get, did she do that face though with them?
Not quite, but it was like half there. It was half broken face.
Yeah, broken face.
Yeah. All right. So Jan is safe. So whoever she picked is, well, could be elected. And so.
Other way around.
The Rurocracy.
So Jessica, the Rumocracy.
Rumocracy.
Chooses.
Rurocracy? Rumocracy.
It's a Rumocracy.
How about the rest of the bitches chose?
The rest of the bitches chose, and they chose
Yara Sophia,
which is such a gag because Yara and Jessica Wilde are best friends. So that's like, here, let me stab this in your heart with your best friend's hand. Like, it's so bad. It was.
And they did that with Morgan McMichaels 2 back in All Stars 3.
Totally, it's amazing.
But and if you watched Untucked, Jessica Wilde actually walked in wearing a Yara Sophia shirt.
No. Didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
It makes you think that it was all planned. Makes you think it was all planned. Because here, because they built, the producers built this program up. Because you had Yara saying, oh, I do Shakira all the time. I'm safe in this
land. Can we get her a tinfoil hat, please? She's a conspiracy theorist.
Conspiracy. No, like, you know, because she's like, I do this 3 times a week at, like, you know, nightclubs in Las Vegas. Da, 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 da. I'm good. And then she's eliminated on doing an impression of Shakira by her bestest friend. Like, oh my God.
I bet at the beginning of the next show, we're going to see that it was unanimous. And I bet you Jan picked Yara as well. Because Jan said she voted with her head and not her heart. And she voted with what she thought everybody else was going to do. So I think this was going to be a sweep for Yara. Because Yara didn't fight for it. She didn't, like, say, I want to be here. And Akira said, damn it, I will work to get better, and I want to be here. And I think that did it.
And honestly, I think Akira will probably have a good week for 1 week. And then we'll go home.
Can we just say she does.
Mm-hmm. Can we just say, though, Jan was not getting any princess points from me when she said, I'm going to go with what the others are going to be choosing, right?
That's smart, though.
Well, it is. I guess it is smart. Like, you know, you don't go against, the crowd because they can easily turn on you, right? But just by saying that out loud, though, it was like, oh, you little middle of the road bitch.
But that was the first time that you got to see the real Jan, because she didn't filter for the camera. She said it, and she's going to own it, but she's also being smart, knowing, you know, when Trinity called out Yara for voting for her, and then totally was like, revenge is my dish best or cold, right? Like, she was, Jan was saying, no, that's not going to happen to me. I'm going to be smart about this. So I actually respect Jan a little bit more for that decision.
And I do think that, so all these queens, like, they're playing it safe with the voting. It is a competition. You need to be strategic. You need to think about what's going to get you further in the game. What's not going to maybe rub people the wrong way, because you don't want to be singled out as the person who did something bad. And Trinity was singled out.
Yeah.
And is probably going to be looked at differently the next time she's in the bottom because of that.
For sure.
And with this, like, you know, game within a game too, can some of these people's decisions and stuff like that, like going with the road or choosing to eliminate someone else instead of besides what the rest of the group is saying and stuff, is that going to bite them in the ass later on?
But they don't know it, right? So the rest of the remaining queens have no idea that this is still happening. So you could see, you know, little Silky Nutmeg coming back with some vengeance, or Akira or Yara. Oh no, Akira's not out yet. Give her a week. Or Yara. this could be a real plot twist, and I think Rue's trying to build that up, make it a little something special.
Well, and the one thing I will say about most of these queens who have been sent home already is they are all excellent lip syncers. Silky, Jiggly, like maybe they're not all like Trinity K. Bonets and Laganjas and stuff like that, but they're all good lip syncers. And so no matter what happens, there's going to be a fight.
Yeah, I think so too. And some revenge is going to happen in the very near future. I can't wait.
I will be feeling my fantasy for all the revenge.
I just want some blood in the water. That's all I want. I just want some blood in the water and just see the frenzy. See the frenzy. All right. Well,
we've reached the end of our program.
Wow. This has been a little bit of an extra long program. I will freely admit, but it's not often we get to have a guest in the Sweet Pea Studios here with us. And I'm just going to throw that on there. So, so Carson, thank you so much for joining us today.
My Carson Arthur. Absolute pleasure. Ladies, when you come back for the finale, make sure you dial me in for at least a few minutes so I can say, I told you so.
Sounds good.
We'll hold you to that. So my name is Miss Tiffany Morgan, and this is...
Rowena Way, and you have been listening to or watching What's the Maple Tea? You can follow us on our website, themapletea.ca, or on all the social medias. So you can go to Facebook, YouTube, or you can go to our Instagrams and Facebooks, Tiffany Morgan, Rowena Way, and find all of your Maple Tea. Yeah. Or subscribe on Spotify, or what are the other ones?
Google Podcasts.
Or Apple Music. Tune in.
Go to themapletea.ca. We got all the links on that website, themapletea.ca. She's Rowena Way. She's also known as the Queen of Weed, you know. You can go to her link tree, Rowena Way, Wehey.
We didn't plug any shows.
No, we didn't.
We have a show on Saturday.
We're closing. No, just leave it back.
Boa, come buy tickets. Bye, everyone.
Tiffany.com for me, TYFFANIE.com. Yes, there's still tickets available for Boa here in Kingston, Ontario, this Saturday, July the 17th. So go to the House of Torres Productions on Eventbrite and you can buy tickets. And we'll talk about more upcoming shows too.
Eventually. Next week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, sweet peas. I give you my love.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you again, Carson.
Thank you. We'll be right back.